Shishi Shabbos Parshas Koyach, Rabbi Kir Shlita.
Good Erev Shabbos to everybody. What an opportunity to share as a Kohen in this week's Sedra. Baruch Hashem. So, Parshas Koyach, having seen the attempts to undermine the authority of the Kohenim, the Torah tells us and reminds us about the obligation that Klal Yisrael have to the Kohenim. In Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Tes, called Trumas HaKadoshim, Moshe Yorim Bnei Yisrael Hashem, Nasati Lecha. That's now going to be given, that is given to you, Ulevanech, to your sons, and to your daughters, Itcha Lechaik Oilam, as an everlasting Chaik. Beris Melech Oilam, a covenant of salt forever. He it is, Nivnei Hashem Lechol Azarecha Itoch. So Rashi's bothered by a problem. And for those of us who, when we do Shnai Mikra, we read at top speed, it's worth stopping and thinking a little bit of the pasuk we just read out. Because in the middle of the pasuk, describing how long this is going to last for, the pasuk says, Lechoy Kolom, that this will be forever and ever. And then the pasuk says, Bris Melech Kolom, it will be a covenant of salt forever. What are we gaining by having a covenant of salt forever as a result of the gift for the kahuna that we didn't get out of Lechoy Kolom, a statute forever? So Rashi points out a few interesting and important nekudas. The first thing Rashi tells us is, Kol Trumas HaKadoshim, says Rashi, Mechivosa Shal Parshazu, because this Parsha is so precious, there's something very, very precious about this Parsha, Klola B'tchila, in Pasuk Ches, there's a general klal describing all the various gifts which are given to the Kohanim, Vani inei nosati lecha es mishmeres trumosi lecha kodshe b'nei Yisrael, etc., etc. That's a general klal. And then afterwards, it's klala b'soif, the pasuk we just read. And then Rashi said, uprat b'emsa, but it gives its specifics in the middle. There's something so very special about this inyan of giving gifts to the Kohanim that the Torah gives us a general principle at the beginning, specifics in the middle, and general, not so unusual to have a klal and a prat and a klal, but Rashi says something interestingly. Rashi says, Michivasa shel parshazu. There's something so very precious, so unusual, so very beautiful about this parsha, our parsha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt the need to write it in this way. Bris Melech Olam. Rashi says, what is this lashon of Bris Melech Olam? Says Rashi, Karis Bris im Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris together with Aaron. What is that then? Badova Habaria. Habari. With something which is a healthy thing. Something which is healthy for itself. Umiskayim, and it lasts a very, very long time. There's no salt sell by date. Umavri Esacherim. And this extraordinarily powerful thing called salt, not only is it good for itself, not only is it healthy for itself, not only is it lasting for itself, but it enables other things to be lasting as well. In other words, how the Chazal explained the pasuk Bris Melech Olam, that this is something which is good for itself and good for others as well. Let's try and understand a little bit about what is unique about these pasukim, because if you go through Chumash, you'll find all different Lashonis describing things which are going to last a very long time. The only place, I believe, you're going to find this Lashon of salt bring Bris Melech Olam is in this week's Sedra. The question is why? What's unique and special about it? But let's take a couple of minutes, if we can, to do a little homework and look around Chumash and see some examples of where this is used. First of all, in Sefer Shemois, with regards to Shabbos. I'm not telling you anything that anybody here doesn't know, but it's worth reminding ourselves to see the subtleties of the language. There we say, V'shomru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, l'aseh ha-Shabbos, l'derasam, and that's called the Beris Olam. There, it's a covenant forever, which is an interesting language, because it's a Beris Olam. There's no melech there at all, there's no salt referring to it. It's going to last forever. Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, from the very beginning of time, forever, will be a Shabbos. It's a Bris Olam. Why isn't Bris Olam going to be enough by Kohanim? Another example, for those of you who are interested in further understanding what salt's all about, So the Pasuk tells us in Perek Beis in Vayikra, there the Torah tells us, V'chol korban min chosro mamelech timloich, any single time you have to bring a korban, you have to salt it. V'lo sashbis melech, beris elokecha. There, when it's describing the fact that every single korban has to have it with a salt, and as Chazal, the Gemara tells us, that a sacrifice without a salt is not a sacrifice, and it has to be on it, that's called a beris elokecha, a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not called a bris olam, it's not called a bris melech olam, it's just called a bris elokecha, a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And another language, another example when it comes to the lechem aponim, in Vayikra, there the Pasuk tells us in Chaf Dalet Ches, the Pasuk tells us, but b'yom haShabbos, b'yom haShabbos, yarchen lifnei Hashem, tomid me'eis b'nei Yisrael, beris olam. Then we're talking about lechem, when it's talking about the lechem upon him, there the loshon which is given is bris olam, a covenant forever. No melech, no chayk, just a bris olam. And another example is with regards to the, also in Bamidbar, with regards to the Koranim, in Parshas Pinchas, the Pasuk tells us, famously, V'hoysa lo lezara acharav bris kahunas olam. This covenant of kahuna is going to last forever. Each time we see the language, each time the Pasuk is mentioned, there's a subtle difference. There's something which is slightly different from the language which we saw in the beginning in our Parsha. And the question is, why? What's the message? So, first of all, let's try and understand a little bit about what salt is. Why specifically here in our Parsha, with regards to the fact that the Kohanim will always retain gifts, this 24 Matnas Kohuna, we'll see in a little while how those Matnas Kohuna are divided, and the fact that they last forever is compared to salt. So Rav Shimshon Filhirsch focuses on what exactly salt is, and he explains that salt's a very good description of something which will be permanent, which will last, as we mentioned in our introduction, salt is something which doesn't have a sell-by date. Salt is something which is going to be lasting. There are many, many other pshatim, but I just want to focus today on a few interesting ideas. Salt has an incredible power, which is it stops decay. It has the power to influence something else and stop it from going off. In fact, anybody who's had the opportunity to have a little bit of herring on Shabbos appreciates the power of what a bit of salt can do. Naturally, herring's got its sell-by date, but after a while, if you salt it, it lasts, Baruch Hashem, far beyond even anything which is well salted. Any South Africans amongst us who have this biltong, which is a fascinating piece of meat, well salted meat is going to last an awful long time. And of course, in our pre-freezer day, the way that they would ensure things are going to last a long time was that they would salt them exceptionally well, which is also connected to Mayim Achronim, but that would be a shear for a different time on the power of the salt that they used to use. In fact, the way that Rav Shimshon Filhirsch explains is that it actually creates like a protective seal around it. If you salt something, it has the ability to live in its own world and therefore keep it in time and in place. What do we mean in our posuk when Rashi says to us that because of the chavivoso shel mitzvah, because of the chaviso shel parsha zu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a special thing. There was a klal pratik. What's so special about our Pasha that Rashi needed to tell us that it's so chovid, it's so very unique and special? So I've seen a number of answers to this question, but one of them is because the Be'er Yitzchok points out that as a result of this incredible reminder to Klal Yisrael, then those people who dedicate their lives to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those people who are on the Mesharshim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those people whose nachala is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they don't have anything else, they don't have any land, they don't have anything, those people, they are going to be completely supported by Klal Yisrael. In order to do what? In order to do what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to do. In order for the Kohanim to be working in the Beis HaMikdash, in order for the Kohanim to be those ensuring the future in the spiritual dimension of the Jewish people, they are totally dedicated to Kedusha. And therefore, because it's so precious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that one of the Shvatim are going to be so dedicated to him, Therefore, he made a klal patin klal. In other words, he gave a general overview, and then he went through each one of the specifics of the gifts which have to give to the kohanim, and then only afterwards do we have the klal as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that society is going to support the kohanim, the society will support those who dedicate their lives to the avodah. Such people, that's a very precious thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's just stop for a moment and think about these gifts that we're speaking about here, these Hafdalad Matnas Kohuna. I must tell you that having been a Kohen for a long time now, Kosev Orucho Es B'nai Yisrael, one of the unique opportunities is the Kohenim have the opportunity to give brachas to Klal Yisrael. And I heard once a Kohen pointed out, the gematria of Kosev Orucho is 25, Ko, 25. And the Kohenim feel this is the 25th of the Matnas Kohuna, the fact that they have the schus to give a brocha to Klal Yisrael as well. The other 24 Matnas Kohuna are divided into three different groups. The first group are those which have to be eaten and consumed in the Azorah, in the Mikdash itself. The second group, and we'll give some examples in a minute, are those objects, those foods, those matters, which can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. And the third group are those things which have to be eaten or allowed to be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, out of Yerushalayim as well. Three very distinct groups. The ten are, for example, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Shalmi Sibba, the Shtei Alechem, the Lechem Aponim. Those have very specific environments in which they're allowed to be eaten. They're only allowed to be eaten in the Mikdash. The second four, for example, Bikurim. Bikurim is eaten, bought by everybody up to Yerushalayim, but it can be eaten in Yerushalayim as well. It doesn't have to just be eaten in the Mikdash. The final 10 is a very interesting area. Because the final 10 are, they are given wherever people find themselves, and therefore the Kohanim can eat them wherever people give them. So for example, Truma. Truma is something where you'll give it, to, whether you're in Ashkelon or Ashdod, north or south of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to bring it necessarily to anywhere in particular. Chazal discuss about whether you can have your own favorite kohen, whether the kohen's got any tefillah on it. But the bottom line is that you give the kohen what he needs wherever you are, and you've got your friendly local kohen to look after and care for. Challah. A particularly extraordinary mitzvah where the people come home from their avodah, and they've got their dough ready for the kohenim. But that's not only in Yerushalayim, that's anywhere in Eretz Yisrael that people bake bread, they have to give the challah, which means they're likely to meet their kohen where Pidgin Aben, I've been zeicher to do some quite extraordinary times the mitzvah of Pidgin Aben. I had the opportunity recently to do a Pidgin Aben for a little baby, 31 days old, and at the Pidgin Aben, the great-grandmother was there, and she turns to her son, the grandfather of the baby, and she says, "We didn't do this when you were born." And we worked out that the grandfather and the grandson had to have a Pidgin Aben on the same day. Baruch Hashem, it did very well. The only difference was I didn't ensure that the grandfather's brought in a silver tray. But nevertheless, the principle was you don't have a grandchild, you don't have a child specifically in Yerushalayim. Wherever the child is born is where the parents, where they'll do the Pidgin Aben, and therefore... So I saw a beautiful insight based on this, based on what Rav Shimshon Frul Hirsch explains. That means that the Kohanim will have to interact with the public. That means the Kohanim will have to be seen and be connecting with the people around the society in which they live in, which he wants to suggest is part of the tafkid of the Kohen. Because not only is he the living example, not only is he the person who works in the Beis HaMikdash, but people look to him and see him as the spiritual powerhouse that the kohen represents, and they're forced to interact with him. You have a baby, firstborn boy, go and find a kohen. You make some bread, go and find a kohen. You have your field, you go and find a kohen. Time and time in and out. And it's interesting for us to consider, in this week's Seder, we say, Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechina, about the sort of company in which you mix with. Forshim want to explain that the Kohanim were dotted throughout Eretz Yisrael, and the nature of the Matnas Kohuna were that people were forced to interact with the Kohen. Those are the sort of Shechenim, those are the sort of people you want to interact with, you want to impact with. I was zeicher recently to spend a few days in Eretz Yisrael, and the hostess of where I was staying asked to be excused for a few moments, and she went into the corner of the room and she was davening Maariv. And the only thing, interesting thing about the way she was davening Maariv, certainly till the Shemona Esrei, is mila b'mila out aloud. Word by word, mamish, incredible. Now, we'll leave the Lamdonim to decide whether there's a chiyuv for a woman to daven Maariv at all. But to listen to how this woman was davening Maariv was something quite extraordinary. And I must say that when you're the right sort of company, this has an impact on you. So when I left later in the evening to go and daven Maariv, I have to tell you, it impacted on me. It's going to impact on me. If a person's davening in a minyan where everybody's davening slowly, if a person's in an environment where everybody is a wonderful example, if you're benching together with people who know how to bench, then your benching's a completely different benching. And the Kohanim were forced to interact with the society because society was going to look after them, was going to care for them, ensure that they had everything that they need. So I heard an interesting and beautiful taich, that that's the idea of the Bris Melech. What's unique about the Kohuna and why it's called salt? Why in that language is it given a Bris Melech Olam? Because we said from Rashi that what melech is something is that it's not only good for itself, but it's good for others as well. That's the power of what Rashi says to us. Karis bris im aron bedova habori. It's wonderful. Salt doesn't, it's great. Salt's a very happy thing. It doesn't go off. But the amazing thing is mavriya sacher, that the salt's going to impact on others as well. And perhaps we can suggest that the Bris Melech Olam, which is mentioned in this week, Sedra, is the power and the impact on which it can have on the other people around them as well. Now, one of the references we made a little earlier to salt was in Vayikra, where we're told that every korban has to have, together with it, some salt. It's a very interesting issue which was brought to my attention in this week's Sedra. And that is the mizmor that we say on Monday. And I'm sure each one of you are happily aware of the differences between each one of the mizmorim. But on Monday we say, Shir mizmor livnei karach. Shir mizmor livnei karach. Which is quite interesting because if you count out in Tehillim the number of Tehillim where there's some connection to karach, we're not talking about one or two. I think 7 or 8, where there's some reference to Korach. Which is rather strange, because Korach doesn't appear to be one of the most greatest success stories. In fact, when just before Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, we repeat time and time and time, Lam Natzeach, which is an interesting thing that you should be talking about B'nai Korach at such a halakha moment in history. So sort of interesting idea. First of all, we're talking about Shir Mizmor Livnei Korach. We're talking about the children of Korach. And why are we talking about the children of Korach? It's because Baruch Hashem, they did tshuva. They realized and recognized the mistake of their father. When talking about Korach, you're talking about the Godel Ador, and you're one of the Gedolei Ador, one of the extraordinary individuals of that generation. And the children recognized, even of their special father, that he'd made a mistake, it was wrong. And Baruch Hashem, at the very last moment, they did tshuva. In which case, it's very relevant that just before we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we should have a mizmor, which is Livnei Korach. Why particularly do we read this mizmor on Monday? Because Monday is the day where, unfortunately, there was a separation. We see at the very beginning of Bereshit, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that what happened on Monday, what happened at the very beginning of creation, is Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rokiah B'soch HaMayim, Vayehi Mavdil Ben Mayim L'Mayim. There's going to be a separation between the lower water and the upper water. And what was that separation? That's the first time in world history that unfortunately there's a machlekas. That's the first time, unfortunately, in world history that unfortunately there's a separation. On Monday, to remind ourselves of the fact there was a separation, we read about Livnei Korach, about the children of Korach. But of course, we mentioned with reference to the korbanos in Parshas Vayikra that there's a mitzvah to bring on every single korban bris melech. And then there, Rashi tells us one of the reasons why. And that is because the lower worlds were unhappy when they were separated from the higher worlds, the famous Chazal, and they were put down into this physical world, and as a result of that, they were very unhappy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, as Rashi tells us, that don't worry, you'll be joined together once again. When will you be joined together? You'll be joined together either by the Nesochim or by the Melech, which is brought in every single sacrifice. In other words, we knew that the world was separated from the higher and the lower worlds, and we knew when we say on a Monday that we recognize the machlekas that was by Korach the separation, but we also understand there's a concept of tshuva. There's a concept of coming back and reuniting. And the salt, which we made reference to, is the example of the rejoining between the lower worlds and the higher world. Salt, which represents something which is good for itself and good for others as well, is representing in the connection between the lower worlds and the higher world and bringing about the tshuva, which we saw in this week's parsha. Now, there are a number of fascinating gifts which are given to the Kohanim, and as a happy recipient of these gifts, I think it's important to remind everybody some of the things that they have to give. Mitz Hashem, in the future, when everybody's going to have to be, if you're looking for a favorite Kohen, you may need to find one. So the Pesukim tell us some of the different gifts which have to be given, and they go through them one by one. Says the Pasuk in Yud Beis, Kol Chelev Yitzah, you have to give oil, V'chol Chelev Tirosh, and wine, V'dogon, and flour. Those have to be given to the Kohen. I mean, we've got the mitzvah of giving Truma Kedola to the Kohen. What's interesting is that the examples which are brought here are, you have to give from the oil, from the wine, and from the dogon. From where Chazal learn out, see it later in Devarim as well, that the Ikka mitzvah of of Truma, the Ikka mitzvah derives is to give from those three things. It's fascinating to note that in last week's Sedra, we see an idea. Vaydaber Hashem and Moshe Lemar, immediately after the Chet of the Meraglim, immediately after the Meraglim are told that none of that generation is going to go into Eretz Yisrael, immediately after we're given the mitzvah, Dabel B'nei Yisrael V'matalem Kisova El Oretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, then you have to do particular mitzvahs. What's that mitzvah? When you bring particular korbanos, various gives a ned and a dov, etc., etc., V'hikriv ha-makriv korbono la-Hashem mincha solis isoren balul b'ruvir sahin shemen. So when you bring this korban, you have to bring it with a mincha, which is mixed together with oil. That means it's got dogon mixed together with oil. V'yayin l'nesech ruvir sahin, and you also bring it together with the nesochim, with the yayin. The Sipona, last week's Sedra, points out that until the chait of the egel, the korbanos, if you follow them through Tanakh, if you follow them through Chumash, none of them were bought with any of these additions. So he points out, if you see by Noach, or you see by Avram Avinu, their korbanos which were bought were not with these added additions. And then he points out that when it comes to post the Chet of the Meraglim, after the Egel, these additions were given for only Korban Sibba. But after the Meraglim, when they had to bring korbanos, they bought them together with flour. They bought them together with oil. They bought them together with wine, even for the korbanos yochid, even for the individuals who are bringing korbanos themselves as well. Ask Rav Shimon Shwab an extraordinary question. He says, why is it that only now that they're coming into, they've been told that they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, why is it only now that we're given this mitzvah that you have to bring these special additions when you bring the korbanos for the yochid? And Rav Shimon Shwab points out that the reason is because these things act as a tikkun for the chait. The chait of the Meraglim was that they spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, when you go into Eretz Yisrael and you start bringing korbanos, you have to bring from the chel of Eretz, you have to bring from the very best of the land, you have to bring from the gifts which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, then you have to bring these things as well. Why? So it should be a tikkun. He points out something very interesting, which only if you listen carefully to the second paragraph of the Shema, will you actually hear this idea as well. And that is, when we talk about the brachas that Eretz Yisrael has as a result of the way we behave with it, When we talk about the particular brachas that Eretz Yisrael have, the pasuk tells us, "Vayom shemati shemam mitzvosai, asher anochi mitzav eschem hayom, v'nosati matatzchem beitei yerei makosh," etc., etc. And the pasuk says, "V'nosati," sorry, there we go. Yerei Malkosh, Vasavta Dagonecha, you should gather in your flour, Vesiroshecha, and your wine, Vyitzarecha, and your oil. Doesn't make reference to any of the other minim of Eretz Yisrael. Surely Eretz Yisrael is going to be blessed with all sorts of minim. No, it specifically mentions these three things to teach you that these are the primary mitzvahs. In the mitzvah of Truma, these are the primary brachas of Eretz Yisrael, of which are, there's much more to say and time doesn't allow it, of which, from which these give the koach and power and energy to Klal Yisrael within it. So in last week's Seder we saw that the Kohanim, in last week's Seder we saw that every time they bring a korban, you have to dafka bring these three things. These three things are a tikkun for the chet of the meraglim, not appreciating Eretz Yisrael properly. And therefore, kisava el Eretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, and you start bringing your korbanos, you have to add, even for korban yachid, these specifically three things. And in this week's seder, we see that when Klal Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael, they have the opportunity to give the brochas, which is given to us, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, give them to the Kohanim. Make sure that the Kohanim get specifically, amongst the 24 Matnas Kohuna, these three things. These three things as a tikkun, but these three things also so that everybody appreciates the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow upon the Kohanim. Because by giving to the Kohen, by representing it, by recognizing and realizing who the Kohen is and what it means to give to him, then not only is the Kohen blessed, but as a result of that, Eretz Yisrael is blessed. V'nasati and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give all the brachas to Eretz Yisrael. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we look forward to being able to be mekabel and receive all the chafdalad, matnas kohuna. As I said, anybody looks and they need a local Kohen, I'm happy to help.